The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DraftKings Network, DK Network. So glad that you joined us this morning, and thank you for making us a part of your morning. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland, live from Bar Canada, here at the D, downtown Las Vegas. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How are you? Yeah, worked out over there? You all right?
Yeah, it's been an interesting morning at the D. I think some power outages overnight, so there's some stuff.
We're going to power through.
Hey, we're going to power through.
You know what? Kelly and I usually only interact at this big table or behind a glass previously at the South Point. We don't rarely walk together anywhere, but we had this awkward meeting here on the top floor of the D on the way to the set here, and I said to Kelly, I noticed something about him that I'd never noticed before. He has a fabulously pronounced arm swing while walking. And I just thought that was noteworthy and had to bring it up. And you said you have a sort of complex about this.
No. It was just, you know, when you ever think about things that you do and you know, you're like, yeah. I don't know if this is an odd thing about me or not. Yeah, I've often thought before. Sometimes I catch myself where I'm like, I think I'm swinging my arms a ridiculous amount walking here.
I felt
here.
Like I was in the firing range.
And you just called me out on it, spot on. And I think I replied with a bleep you. And yeah, this is
you did.
This is something I've thought of before.
That was the first thing out of your mouth. That's right. And then you remarked perhaps you should work on that. No, I think it's maybe you're just very anxious to get to where you're going. Anyway, that's
what
Kelly,
it is, man.
Kelly Bidlin, ladies and gentlemen, pronounced arm swing.
I walk with purpose.
That's right. Well done. Walks with purpose. We got Will Hill on the show coming up. All his Super Bowl 58 thoughts. Mike Pritchard. I got to ask Pritch about his buddy, Eric Bieniemy. We'll get into that here momentarily. And the great Steve Fezzik on the show today. He's doing the Megapod. By the way, our 13th annual. That's how long I've been doing a podcast.
Hey,
our 13th annual Vegas lifestyle podcast, A Man's Guide to Sin City, with Fezzik and Mark Meltzer like seltzer after the show today. So he's going to join us early to talk Super Bowl 58, get all his thoughts from a pro perspective.
I can't wait to have Pheasant here. Yeah. We haven't had him in a while. I mean,
he's always
since
on,
we moved. Yeah,
he's always on Sharp Money. Yep. Let's give them a shout. Patrick Maher and him have had a relationship for, I believe, centuries.
Well, he's a busy guy. I mean, he's doing as much media as anybody these days with Fez. So,
he likes being out there.
It's usually tough to wrangle him for a spot.
Don't have him on Twitter, though, because he's awfully angry on Twitter. Speaking of Twitter, Dave Ross allowed back onto the Twitter these days. Dave Ross and Wes Reynolds were kind enough to have me on the show on Sunday night. And so we'll get into that here momentarily because I want to talk about 2025 NFL stuff. First, there's actually some breaking news this morning in the world of golf. And I want, if you could for a second, if you could just tell us what all of this means and where the whole PGA Live thing stands, because I know you're all over that.
Yeah, so this is, I'm sure at this point for most people, the golf stories have just kind of gotten confusing. You don't really know what's significant news, what's not, you know, what's not really news. Ever since last summer when we heard that the PGA Tour and Live and the PIF would all be kind of merging together to form a sports league of their own, and then we're going to decide on how they handle PGA Tour or Live, if there was going to be this Super League. All that stuff still being worked out. They were they struck an agreement that they were going to come up with a framework for this in back in the summertime, and then you might have heard a couple weeks ago or a month ago that they had put a deadline. They had originally put a deadline at end of year,
right?
Which then they did an extension on, and they're like, well, we're going to push it back to the Masters. We'll have it figured out by then. Part of the news that's coming down today is the reason why that stuff had to be extended. So PGA Tour finalizing a $3 billion deal with this Strategic Sports Group, which is essentially a group of American businessmen and owners of other sports teams and other leagues that have come together to put money behind the PGA Tour, so the PGA Tour can actually enter into a merging situation with LIV and the PIF with a little money of their own, and not the PIF just standing there being like, "Hey, we got all the money. What do we care about you except for the name rights?" So now that the PGA Tour has this money, I would expect that we're going to see, and all indications are, we will see a deal and a framework deal worked out with LIV and the PGA Tour coming together and figuring out whatever they're going to do next. That will be happening now way sooner than later.
Has any of this affected any of your handicapping?
No, not yet. Just it, this is, I think if some people were wondering, why are we seeing more of these live defections here recently, like Tyrrell Hatton, like John Rahm, it's always been partially because they know they can now leave and go play on live and make the big bucks, because at some point this is all going to come back around where they're going to be able to play some PGA Tour events. They're still going to be able to play majors and not get penalized.
There also appears to be no backlash in the media anymore either. They just do it now and it moves on. Can we draw any line from this spate of long shots winning tournaments to any of this?
Not really. I don't want to. I think you could. Someone could say, "Hey, John Rahm's not in the tournament, so that opens up a window for a long
shot." Because it does incrementally, right?
Sure, incrementally that makes a difference. This deal specifically,
not really. But yes. I'm just saying the defections sort of skew it just that much more every week.
It might not be a ton, but yes, that much more every week. Sure.
Where does this end up? Final question.
I think it's going to end up, you're still going to have Liv, you're going to have PGA Tour, you're going to have some crossover, and there's probably going to be a select number of events like we see with the signature events right now on the PGA Tour that become major events for both tours to be a part of.
All right. Okay. We'll do your Pebble Beach stuff later.
Yep, we will.
Pebble Beach thoughts and bets coming up on the show. The other big sort of news yesterday, Ben Johnson, not the Olympic gold medalist, but the Detroit Lions offensive coordinator. While the Washington Commodores football brass was on their way to meet him.
That's crazy.
Turns them down. The joke going around yesterday was he just can't stand the name and he couldn't bear being the head coach of a team called the Commanders, which I think is probably as likely a reason as any. But Ben Johnson turns them down. By the way, on the way there is one of those things you don't forget. Like you're like, oh, really, dude? Okay. So you still have a football team in Washington that has a new owner, no more Daniel Snyder, Josh Harris in there, new GM, $75 million in cap space, and the number two pick in the draft. So in that, by those terms, still a pretty attractive gig. Seattle's still out there with an opening as well. And so now Dave Ross, getting back to Dave Ross and Wes Reynolds, Dave, as I was finishing the segment with them the other night, he quickly goes, "Can I interest you in 100-1 on the Commanders?" And I'm like, "No, but thanks for offer." And it gets you to thinking, and we'll talk to Pritch later about, you know, Eric Bieniemy in all of this. Remember how big of a deal it was before this year that, oh my God, he can't ever get a job. Mm-hmm. This was his 17th interview. By the way, very quietly, the Commodes interviewed him at the beginning of their head coaching process. And a lot of people will say, well, it was just to fulfill the Rooney rule. They were never really considering him. After all, the offense, you know, his biggest feat on offense this year was making Terry McLaurin disappear, I would say.
Right, yeah.
But that's so, you know,
isn't the Rooney rule, though, outside people? I thought it was outside the organization you had to interview.
You might be right.
I could be wrong.
But either way, they did it super quietly. Like, no one made a big deal about it, and they moved on. He's going to be 0-17. And I'm just amazed that he's not even a candidate. He's not even a consideration. So who do they end up? Probably with McDonald from the Ravens, their offensive coordinator, who has gone from John Harbaugh to Jim Harbaugh back to John Harbaugh. Although Seattle just interviewed him as well. So I think he's like the guy in the driver's seat for both of these jobs. No thought of Vrabel, no thought of Belichick currently in Washington. And I don't think there will be. So right now, that's how it feels. Anyway, he asked me, would I take 100-1? And I'm like, no, thank you. But that's very kind of you to offer. And it does get you to thinking, though, as Super Bowl 58 approaches, if you looked at the market for 2025 NFL, who would you bet right now? And it occurred to me that there are two obvious choices. Any guesses to what those two obvious choices are?
No. What do you got?
All right. One of them is, to me, the Cincinnati Bengals. Cincinnati Bengals, you can get at about 12-1. Always shop around for this stuff. Joe Burrow will be back. I would argue they were the best team that did not make the playoffs this year. We can quibble about that. That's how that would be my team. If you ask me, best team that didn't make the playoffs, to me, was clearly the Bengals, who were without maybe the arguably the second best quarterback in all of football. And I think they're at 12-1, whenever they're double digits, I think they're an obvious play. Sorry, Baltimore Ravens, you had your shot without them this past year.
Yeah, right now, 49ers plus 550, Chiefs plus 750, Ravens 9-1, Bills plus 950. Then you get to a group at 12-1, Lions and Bengals sitting there.
Any guesses who the second one is?
Oh, man.
You already said it.
Oh, I already said it.
You already said it.
Bills.
Chiefs. I think we have this moment every year. Patrick Mahomes has been to six AFC championships in a row.
Yep.
They are about to be in their fourth Super Bowl in 5 years. The Chiefs are plus 750. Shouldn't we every single season at this moment just bet the Chiefs, just throw it in your betting account and forget about it till the next January?
Starting to feel that way, Gil. Starting to feel that way.
Plus 750. We'll never see that number again.
You would kill to have that number heading into this game this weekend.
And this is even with, I mean, now one could argue, like, well, what about when they lost to the Raiders? I mean, were they as long as plus 750 then? Maybe they were. I don't know. But the
oh, yeah, I'm sure they were.
The point being that it's rare for them to ever be this long ever.
And I think to back you up a little bit on this one, too, it's the, okay, could the team change and possibly get a little worse? Sure. But, like, this is also the wide receiving core and choice of weapons that Patrick Mahomes has cannot possibly get any worse a year from now than what it's at right now.
But I remember, you know, when Michael Jordan went off to play baseball and they lost the Magic when he came back and wore number 45. They had won three championships. There were still three ahead of him. But I remember one of my cousins being like, oh, this team and this team. I was like, no, Michael Jordan, like, you have to. He's still the favorite, right? Mm. There's no question. This is that. It's just, that's him. Patrick Mahomes is Michael Jordan. He's there. And so you're right. The more you can surround him with, the better. But clearly here we have a situation where he's not surrounded by much. Travis Kelce and then the poo-poo platter. And here we are again. So plus 750 on them strikes me as a great bet also.
Yeah, I like the Bengals, like you said, man. I'm a little shocked to see Cowboys 20-1, Eagles 22-1. With how much love they usually get.
Kelly Billet, everybody, with a pronounced arm swing. Will Hill is next. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Put the VSiN experts to work for you and start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription and get your first year for only $199. Just use promo code ANG. Get access to everything on our brand new VSiN.com website, plus our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access, plus our upcoming Super Bowl betting guide with best bets and favorite prop bets. Remember to use promo code ANG, though.
Promo code ANG, folks. That's promo code ANG, as in a numbers game. ANG.
Get your first year of VSiN Pro access for only $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. I totally faked out Kelly there. I went in for the lunge, and he said it one more time. Kelly's also running a live book back here, and he's just answering phone calls with a visor on, in case you heard the phone background.
There's a lot of arm swinging going on, because I got to run back to our little control room. There's power outages here, so we're fighting through.
Best listeners of the game. We get tweets. Larry Fresh, Kelly, you beautiful arm swinging bastard. Colin Murphy with images of someone doing the Colin McGregor. Is that his name? Conor McGregor. What am I saying? Conor McGregor walking to the snake exhibit at the zoo. Corbin, on the extensive arm swinging, me and my cousin work together. It involves a lot of driving around. We like to play a game where if we see someone walking/running with passion, we have to rush and blast the radio to the first song we can find. And Doug Wedge, SSG and John Henry dropping $3 billion on golf for funsies. Meanwhile, Red Sox opening day starter is Lucas Giolito.
Yeah,
good point. And then LFC title records. Going back to the national anthem bet yesterday, my mother's a huge Reba fan and named her Chihuahua Reba. This may be the first time I will be consulting my mother to help handicap a wager. By the way, VSiN newsletter, Bill Ady put out our Reba segment yesterday, and he said, I can't do it justice. Here it is. And he just put a link. He was like, I have no comment about this. Will Hill joins us, everybody. You can follow him on Twitter at NotTheWillHill. He has his own podcast as well these days. Should have bet more. He, of course, is also the star of the Bear Bets Pod and the Mega Pod, though he's sitting this one out today. Sitting out the lifestyle one. It's Will Hill, everybody. How you doing, Willie?
Illy, what's going on? I'm on a little early today. I know how it is. Just get the ginger guy out of the way early and get rid of him. I know how it is. I'm surprised in those tweets there were no Raquel Welch Seinfeld references. Remember that one where Raquel Welch, she doesn't move her arms when she's tap dancing?
Oh,
and
that's right.
Kramer has to tell her, and Kramer gets a Tony, but then she snaps it in half. That's one of my favorite ones.
Can we just have a moment for Raquel Welch? Oh, man, was she something. Okay.
Remember that episode? I remember that episode. Yes.
they did not miss a trick on that show. They caught really every one of those little nuanced things. All right, Will, I asked you off on the break. I was like, hey, because Kelly and I are going to talk about it. There was some more movement in the NBA MVP market. And you were like, not much about that, but I did make some baseball bets. What did you make in baseball?
Bet some season win totals. I usually do pretty well on these, so we can just get into them. I did bet over 103.5 with the Dodgers, who just added James Paxton, who, well, he's going to get hurt at some point. When he pitches, he's healthy, sort of like Glasnow, who they added to. To me, this is just a regular season juggernaut. They're going to win their 105, 106. They're going to bury these teams night in, night out in the regular season. So I'm sure October will come around and they'll get swept by like the Cincinnati Reds in the division round, and it's becoming almost you know, it's incredible how that happened last year and the year before against the Diamondbacks and the Padres. But to me, they're going to win so many games in the regular season, so I bet they're over. And this is sort of correlated with it. I bet under 60.5 for Colorado. They're just going to get killed in that division. I know the division games aren't as prevalent now. It's not 19 against your division opponents. I think it's down to 14, but still, that's still a lot of games against your division. And think about who they have to play. The Dodgers, 14 games. The Diamondbacks, who are getting better, younger, who are just in a World Series. The Giants, who are still a decent team, despite all of their egregious cheating always. And who else is in that division? Oh, the Padres. The Padres were 1-12 in extra inning games. So like, they're going to get killed in that division. They have no pitching. Rockies are an under for me.
Just an unsubstantiated charge. Just going after the host is what he did right there. By the way, thank you for correcting me. When I was doing the Reba thing yesterday, I compared it to not being able to bring the total down in the same way that they couldn't bring down a total on Lincecum versus Oswalt. But you corrected me that in the division series, it was actually Lincecum versus Halliday. So thank you for that. I appreciate that correction.
That was a loser for me back in 2010, game one of that NLCS.
Yes.
Cody Ross, I think, hit two homers and young Willie lost some money on that one. That was it
CS or DS? I think it was DS, wasn't it? I don't know. I can't remember.
I think it was the CS.
Okay.
I think it was the CS. All right. Yeah.
All right. So that thing you said about baseball, I just want to point this out again. Here we are in January and we'll file it away till October, but it really is getting ridiculous, isn't it? Like the Dodgers-Yankees thing, especially the Dodgers, like every human being on earth who is great at baseball, we will grab you for our team. We will win an insane number of games in the regular season. And then, again, the incongruence of the baseball regular season of 162 games versus these best of threes and best of fives. God help you after that. Like, it's just, what are we watching here?
That too. And how about just the fact that, like, can you imagine, like, not that long ago, a scenario where the Cy Young winner was not signed? Like, we got a couple weeks till pitchers and catcher. Blake Snell's out there. Bellinger's out there.
Yeah.
Like, this offseason, there's no juice to it. One guy gets signed, a couple guys here and there. And it's very strange the way it drags out. There's no juice. There's no buzz. These guys go until who knows when. I don't know where Snell's going to go or how much he's going to sign for. But I can't imagine, like, in the 90s, like, this would be the biggest story ever, where the Cy Young winner is going to go. Now it's like nobody talks about it. Nobody cares. He's not signed. It's just strange offseason. No juice.
Hey, has MLB Network given out the Rookie of the Year awards yet, or is that still pending? I forgot when their schedule is.
A week from tomorrow is the NFL awards and the MLB awards the same night.
All right. Real quick, college basketball tonight. What do you have?
I took Georgia +6 against Alabama. I think that's 672 on the rotation number. Don't want to get Fez all upset. I know how he is with the rotation numbers. I don't like this Bama defense, especially on the road. Georgia's not a bad team. So I'll take Georgia +6. And I'm fading Kentucky here. I took, I'm drawing a blank on who Kentucky is playing. I took Georgia +6 and Florida +6 with the Gators in Kentucky. Kentucky's got some injury issues. Kentucky's loaded with talent, but they have some issues rebounding defensively. So I will take the 6 here with the Gators.
All right. Special numbers game investigation has turned up that Super Bowl 58 is 11 days away. We really got the guys on this one. What have you bet so far? First of all, besides props, what is your position on the game itself?
Back and forth. It's interesting where it gets hard to go against Mahomes. You said it well. It's hard to go against Mahomes, Andy Reid, Spagnuolo, especially Andy Reid and Spagnuolo with extra time to prepare. Especially you're getting a point or two here with Mahomes. Thing is, though, if they played this game 3 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, 9 weeks ago, San Fran would be laying 4, 4.5. So what do you value more, the season-long stuff, or do you value more the fact that The 49ers have not played well, really should have been out twice already against Green Bay and against Detroit. Or do you value the fact that Kansas City's playing better and San Francisco is playing poorly? It's a hard balancing act. I don't have a lot of conviction on a side right now. I have bet a couple of props, but I don't know. Let me ask you, like, do you take that into account? Like, hey, if they played this game a month ago, San Fran's laying over a field goal. Are we overreacting here to a couple of games? I feel like San Francisco, I'm not ready to pick them, but I feel like they are being discounted here a little bit.
No, I said it Monday. I said it Tuesday. I will probably say it all 10 days that we do this show before the Super Bowl, which is you do have that Christmas Day where the Niners got crushed by the Ravens and the Chiefs got crushed by Chiefs by the Raiders and the Niners by the Ravens. The Niners probably are 5 or 6 point favorites after that anyway. That's Christmas. Right. That's Christmas. That's a month ago. And yet, if you do the T chart, the Jimmy the Greek T chart of check marks, and I know football isn't played this way, but if you go coach versus coach, all right, check mark Andy Reid and Spagnuolo, quarterback Mahomes, check, tight end, well, body of work, Travis Kelce, lifetime, right? Even though Kittle's great, kicker, absolutely Butker, defense, right now as they're playing, Chiefs. Like the Chiefs get every check mark except for the massively big one for the Niners offense. So, you know, that is a pretty fascinating handicap. And I think that's the macro way of trying to decide who's going to win this. And I don't, quite frankly, I still think the Niners are I sort of feel like the Niners are going to win.
Kind of feel that way too. It's interesting. These teams played 4 years ago in the Super Bowl. Obviously, it was the great 49ers defense against the great Chiefs offense. Now the 49ers have the better offense. The Chiefs have the better defense, which is weird how it's flipped. The one final thing on this, I've been on this theme for the last month or so. We've talked about it. Is it possible the AFC is just a lot better than the NFC and there's a bigger gap than we thought all along?
Such a great point. This is your best point, I think. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you look at some of the cross matchups. You know, Baltimore buried San Francisco. Three of four, San Francisco's four losses. I don't count that final 49ers loss against the Rams that week 18. 49ers lost to PJ Walker and the Browns. They got beat handily by the Bengals. And obviously, they got killed by the Ravens on that Christmas game. The Ravens buried the Lions. Even the Dolphins, who beat nobody good, beat the Cowboys. The Bills buried the Cowboys. You just go down the line here. These AFC, NFC head-to-head have gone really in favor of the AFC in the AFC. So maybe there's just a bigger gap than we thought all along.
That is, to me, that's the biggest check mark for the Chiefs. You're absolutely right. Look, the Chiefs just beat the Dolphins, Ravens, and Bills, right? Not in that order, but here in the postseason. And what's the Niners' best win? The Cowboys? So, yeah, I mean, like, that maybe the biggest thing of all of this is staring us right in the face and we're all just overlooking it. He says after he just said he thinks the Niners probably win. So, I mean, it's pretty fascinating. Will, plug it away. What do you got on Twitch? What's happening these days?
Should have bet more podcast. Check it out. Appreciate you guys having me. Thank you.
That's all you want to plug now. Okay. Should have bet more.
That's all I need.
That's all you need. Should have bet more from Will Hill at Not The Will Hill. Thank you, Will. We'll come back. We'll talk more NFL. Oh, I got a TV show I got to recommend too. That's next. Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, if you haven't already, check out the new sleek VSiN.com. Today on the website, front page, JVT, Jonathan Bontobel, with all his NBA best bets and analysis. Of course, Steve Mackinnon with all of his Super Bowl 58 betting trends and systems. And remember for subscribers, not to conflate two things, but VSiN.com/picks, all of our picks, all hosts, all guests at VSiN.com/picks. VSiN.com, check it out. Speaking of which, Kelly, I have tennis plays. I had, since we last spoke, had Angie Kerber yesterday that lost, but hit on Jody Anabarraj this morning, British player. So split the plays, lost a little juice though on Kerber. I have two more today, and I just wanted to get them in. Again, if you're a subscriber, you get these. Me and Zach Cohen, because I want to shout him out too, we're betting tennis every day. And they're always on the website for subscribers. It's just that they're in Europe. So again, there's a little time zone difference, so it doesn't necessarily work out. But today it does. Still to come here, I have two dogs to come. On the men's side, I have north of a $2 dog on Flavio Cobolli. What do you know about Flavio Cobolli, Kelly?
Sounds like a great guy.
He is. But he's taking on Gael Monfils. And it is in this one is in France. So Monfils, sort of a home game for him. I believe it's Montpellier is where they're playing. Montpellier. Cobolli is a north of a $2 dog. His numbers are really good.
Montpellier.
Yeah. So the price is what I'm playing here. I think Cobolli has a puncher's chance. Then a little later on in Linz, Austria, in Austria on the ladies' side. I got Katie Bolter at plus 160 going up against your favorite player, Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova.
Ah, did you know there's a Pedro Martinez playing in this?
Yes, I do, yeah. Not that Pedro Martinez.
Good for Pedro. What a resurgence.
Oh, he's been on the tour for a long time.
Yeah. Plus 200.
I think everyone has the same reaction when they just get
going up against Borna Koric.
I have a, oh, Borna Koric is good. I have a TV show recommendation. I feel like I'm late on this.
What you got? I love these because I never watch anything. So
I don't either. But like, now that we're finally at the Super Bowl, it's like, oh wow, I can actually.
No, but like, do you know what I'm talking about? Where you like you watch a bunch of sports, then you finally get a little bit of time where you're like, let me turn something on. But I don't even know what to turn on because you know what I mean.
So when it's football season, we watch nothing, and then now that it's abating. And now that tennis is not in the Australian Open, so I'm not staying up and watching. I mean, most of these are overnight now here in France and in Austria. You have a window where you're like, wow, I can return to the real world. Should I watch news? No, I do that. Let's watch some on Netflix. American Nightmare. You down with this?
Oh, this is the Netflix one. JVT was big on. We got a couple tweets about last week.
Oh my God. This is so good.
I'm not really big into like
true crime.
Yeah, true crime, murder stuff.
Why do you gotta say it like that? Murder.
I don't like all the podcasts and stuff that they do out there. I just don't get it.
Murder. She wrote. So here's the thing. This is so good, and I was in the Bay Area when this happened.
Can you give us the brief?
I don't want to give it away, but I'll give you the broad.
Okay.
It's a 3-episode. Very easily consumable thing on Netflix. Each episode is less than an hour, I believe.
Oh, that was the big selling point from JVT. That's right. Right. It's like only 3 episodes.
Very consumable. It is a fascinating story. It's really well put together about just the police, kidnapping, just stories that are not believed. It's just a whole thing. You got to watch it. I was just amazed because I was in the Bay for this whole time. This is happening in the East Bay, by the way, for those who don't know, like Bay Area geography. San Francisco is referred to as the city. Pardon me. Very, very snobbish for the city. And then there's the South Bay and there's the East Bay. South Bay is like where San Jose is. East Bay is like where Oakland and Berkeley is. So this is all happening in the East Bay. And also if you're from the Bay Area, you know how you pronounce all these towns' names. Like, how would you pronounce Vallejo?
What?
Okay. So in Spanish, you would pronounce that Vallejo. But if you're a Bay Area native, you know to call it Vallejo.
Vallejo. Vallejo. Okay.
Vallejo. Yeah. Valley Joe, baby. Yeah. So anyway, this takes place in Vallejo. It also takes place in Dublin.
How do people screw that up?
It's the first way you know. You know how I always say, like, if you say San Fran, people clearly know you're not from San Francisco?
Yeah, I do all the time, yep.
Okay, Vallejo, same thing. If you don't pronounce it Vallejo, people immediately know you're not from the Bay Area. Also, how would you pronounce C-O-N-C-O-R-D?
Concord.
Not in the Bay Area, you don't. Concord.
Oh, okay.
And if you say Concord, they're like, you're not from here.
Right. Wait, how do people screw up Vallejo?
Because it's not, because you, it's really Vallejo. It's Spanish.
Oh, got it.
Or Vallejo, but Vallejo? Ho? Really? G-O-U-G-H, last one.
We're getting picky now, because like, I don't roll into L.A. and be like, Los Angeles!
No, what I'm saying, it's Vallejo. When's it? Vallejo.
Yeah, what was your last one?
G-O-U-G-H.
G-O-U-G-H?
Yeah, it's a street in San Francisco.
Golf.
Good for you. Got that one. You got by. All right. NBA MVP. We brought this up with Will. We didn't bring it up. So,
what was the show about?
I just told you. I'm not going to give you details. It's about a kidnapping. The police are, let's just say, they don't look too good in this.
Okay.
It is a fascinating dynamic between an actual kidnapping, a police response, investigation. How it played out.
Now, did you know about this when you were living?
No, that's my point.
Okay, that's what I was waiting for you to drop.
How did I not know about any of this?
So there's been, I feel like, in the past 10, 15, 20 years or whatever, since we've had more of the streaming services, you get a lot more shows, these shows and podcasts and stuff. Sometimes someone will bring these up, and I'll be like, I was living there during that time. How do I never hear about this?
All while I'm watching this, the whole time I'm thinking to myself, was I so immersed with Dr. Bob in betting baseball? That's the only answer. It's the only answer. Like, I was so tunnel visioned on betting baseball every single night. Every night I would have to go, 15 games, let's say, on a typical night, that I was so oblivious to everything else going on around me. And then we were just talking about how now we finally get to watch TV shows. When we're in the middle of football season, we're so oblivious to everything else going on around us. It's a little scary that this was going on there.
Yeah. No, I think that's.
I had no idea.
It's also, it's still, I think that's still right there. It's a great example of the importance of local news and local radio and stuff like that.
Yes,
to cover that
great,
stuff.
Great.
And
great
actually call. The importance of us actually paying attention to it once in a while.
American Nightmare, my highest recommendation. It is fantastic. All right. So we talked about NBA MVP yesterday when the show started. And we were talking about how, you know, Joel Embiid was no longer the favorite. Nikola Jokic returned to being the favorite. But that the dispersion of the money was such that Jokic just leapfrogged Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Joel Embiid went behind Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Nothing really changed beyond that. Not the case this morning, as Joel Embiid finally, with the minimum games factor being 65, he can only afford to miss 5 more games now.
So he's still, that game counted. He did leave. If you watched the game at all last night, he left at the end.
He
left twice.
He still can only afford to miss 5
more, yes. Yeah.
So because of that, the market sort of wised up. The market has him now at 15-1. So all the money's coming in on everybody else, in other words. Giannis down to plus 750. Luka still at plus 550. And at the top, it's the same, right? Jokic minus 120 and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander 3-1. But you think this is more reflective now?
Of what the... I mean, yes. I think it's a so yes and no. Like, I think it's 15-1 that Joel... It's 15-1 or longer that Joel Embiid even qualifies for this award at this point. And not that, not that he really... I don't think he suffered anything crazy new injury-wise last night, but he was clearly out there playing hurt, playing through injuries that he's already suffered, and then had guys landing on his knees and stuff at the end of that game where he finally had to exit it. I think he's probably 25-30-1 to even qualify for this award at this point. So
let alone win it.
Right, let alone win it. So right away, I think that gives value to the 4 other guys. We talked about this a bit yesterday. I have absolutely no interest in Luka Doncic still. He's amazing. He's great. You know, finally have a team where you're up there in the Western Conference standings one of these years, and then I think we can have this conversation a little bit more seriously about Luka. So yeah, I think it's Jokic, Shea, and Giannis, and I still think Giannis is too long compared to those other guys. You're realistically looking at a season where he could finish with the most points per game and most assists per game he's ever had in his career, more than when he won the MVP. You're realistically looking at that, and he's on a team that's going to finish probably second in the Eastern Conference, especially if Joel Embiid misses any time. You could probably just write that in now. And then, yes, I do think the Jokic versus Shai conversation is interesting. I think those odds should probably be a little tighter now that Shai's down to 3-1. I'm really interested in running to bet that now. I bet him at plus 350. I think if you shop around, you find numbers anywhere around there still, Gil. I think there's value in betting Shai. You look at what he's done throughout this season and just kind of a lot of the advanced analytics and estimated wins of what he's worth and EPM, a lot of the stuff. I mean, he is way, way up there. So I think if you could find plus 350, and I still think these Giannis odds are just too long. So it is the one. And every time I look at this, I'm going to keep bringing up his name. I don't know what I've put in already, Gil, 3-4 bets on Giannis. I mean, dating back to 18-1 when I first brought this up, like 2 or 3 weeks ago. Started at 18-1. I got a 12-1. I got a 10-1.
Tyrese Halliburton saying that this is stupid. This minimum game thing is stupid.
Lost Gil.
No, I'm on the air. Oh. You lost me. I'm on the air. Joel Embiid, the tragedy of this is that right now, as we speak, he would have the 10th highest points per game average in the history of the NBA. We're coming back. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, with Super Bowl 58.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Looking for a super offer for Super Bowl 58? DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSiN. That's the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSiN. New customers can bet $5 to get 200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 58 with code VSIN. The crown is yours. Still to come on the show, Mike Pritchard will join us to talk Super Bowl 58, and Steve Fezzik in the house, only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest back in the day. Steve, what did he finish in Circa this year? Did he end up top 10? I don't know. He got part of the Millions.
He was up there.
He got part of Survivor. He got key cashed in Millions. You okay over there?
Yeah. We're doing great.
All right. You seem
like doing great.
We get tweets. Mike Boreal. Kelly walks like Isaiah Pacheco runs angry.
That's right.
You're very loud, by the way.
Or just switched headsets.
A Joe named Jim. I need context here. Are we talking runway model arm swinging or beef eaters marching? Yeah, beef eaters marching. Artur Dominguez. Hey, Gil, Kelly, will your show next Wednesday be accessible to watch live and in person? I'll be in Vegas for the first time next week. Thanks. Definitely come up and say hello, Artur. We'd love to talk to you. It is Barcanada, after all. Jason. American Nightmare was really good and crazy hard to believe. Yeah, it was. 3Jack, H3131. Wait, did you just give a different promo code? What does Vallejo go to? where did ANG go? He also says he grabbed Kawhi Leonard. I think he has. I think he put this down wrong. He's like, he put it at plus 25 and then he put four zeros. I think he means 250-1 on Kawhi for MVP, okay. which is still a great number.
Yeah.
Clippers are a popular pick to win it all, correct? It's called a long shot. B's bets. Do you think the Sixers would stoop as low as to let Embiid go out for the tip and then pull him after a few minutes for the game to count so he wins MVP? Denver guy here. My instinct is to say no.
He's still got to play a certain amount of minutes.
Yeah.
There's a minutes qualifier, too. They put that in there so they couldn't do stuff like that.
Are you loud? Brian Heap. Gil, you mentioned Fezzik on the just admire. Gil, you mentioned Fezzik on the Vegas Lifestyle Pod. That's great, but I could swear a few weeks ago you promised us a trick rolling update with the Greek Gambler. Am I having a Roger Clemens moment and misremembering? No, I actually called Ace yesterday, and he said he is flying out of Vegas because our old friend Marco D'Angelo had a passing away in the family. So he is handling that, so Ace cannot be on the show. So we extend our condolences to Marco on that, but that is your answer to why Ace is not on. And then Mike Alvarez says, I feel you guys should avoid Radio Row next week. ANG might be put in a Milton from Office Space situation. You guys might end up somewhere else on Radio Row. He's referring to, I did not receive my paycheck.
When they move his office.
That's right.
We're going to go ahead and move you downstairs.
I did not receive my paycheck. Okay, so props abound for Super Bowl 58. I have, full disclosure, I have not bet any props yet. Have not bet any. I'm still working on who Usher is, you know, what Usher's first song is going to be. But, of course, plentiful are the props, including ones we have put up here. Total yards on the first offensive play. You can bet on something like that. Under over 3.5 yards, your standard NFL gainage of yards. First play from scrimmage to result in the first down. The yes is a plus 340. So if you think they're going 10 yards on the very first play from scrimmage, plus 340 on the yes. The no is minus 500. Speaking of large money lines, Steve Fezzik, the man who bet that large money line on Purdue so famously in the NCAA tournament, he has a large money line bet that he'd like to share that he made last night.
Oh, okay.
He's like, I'm going to win it back unit by unit, baby. First field goal on or after 14-minute mark has elapsed, that's a coin flip. Now, I assume that means 14 minutes in.
Yes.
See, these guys, they got to be real clear with this wording. But it was 14 minutes elapsed, so they are. Pardon me. They are. 14 minutes elapsed.
I did the same thing yesterday.
Yeah.
I was like, I think I'm thinking of this right, but yes.
Yeah. They wrote elapsed. They are correct. That was my mistake. First field goal on or after 6 minutes elapsed. The yes is minus 140, that it will take at least 6 minutes for the first field goal to happen. The no is plus 105. First score yards. Is the play itself that has the first score is going to be over or under 23.5. And then the first touchdown yards over 9.5. I see. The first score could be a field goal or a touchdown. The first touchdown, 9.5. So, again, the big thing about all these, without giving an opinion on anyone, because I don't know that I really have an opinion on any of the ones I just read, the wording is so key, right? The elapsed for the ones we just talked about, first score versus first touchdown yards. Remember, the score could be anything, right? Field goal or touchdown. I suppose you could have a safety of more than 23.5 yards, but that would be something.
Right.
Didn't we have one of more than 23.5 yards in that Broncos-Panthers one?
Oh, geez. Yeah, there was something crazy there. Is that what it was, though? Was that really long?
That one
jumped out to me, though, and like the total yards on the first offensive play, like for two teams.
Yeah, that's the one that you can talk through of these.
Yeah, because the two teams, I mean, I expect to be heavy running throughout the game, but you're talking about an incomplete pass could factor in here. So
it's a complete pass of more than 3.5 yards for either Mahomes or Purdy to all his weapons, or it's Isaiah Pacheco or Christian McCaffrey on the ground.
Right. But I'm saying I'd be looking at the under. I think I'd be looking at the under or anything. Either you go to a running back running straight into the line on the first play when everybody knows that's coming, or an incomplete pass gets me home too on under 3.5. That would be the way I'd be laying it.
There's no chance I'm betting that. But I'm just saying, but that's the thing. Yeah, it's like, okay, they're going to have hundreds of props.
Yep.
Will they make a mistake somewhere? Sure. They absolutely will. And you should go to all kinds of shops to find out where that mistake might be. Was it Chrissy and Vinny famously talked about how they had, was it LeGarrette Blount prop back in the Philly New England Super Bowl that was really mispriced? And of course, sharp bettors, they smell it from far away. They will find it and they will pounce on it. I can't remember if it was first touchdown or if it was any time touchdown on LeGarrette Blount, whatever it was, but it was completely mispriced. And I believe he scored, if I'm not mistaken in that. But like something like this, total yards on first offensive play. I mean, if you're betting this, aren't you betting every single prop alive?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So, I mean, you don't have to, just because it's there doesn't mean you have to put $5 on each of these. Try to be a little selective on these. But anyway, just a smattering. And again, we've got 10 more days to talk this through. Or not 10 more days, but 11 more days. But certainly 8 show days to talk it through. We'll get to some that we do, in fact. Like, I was talking to the Apple Music people, and I'm trying to work on a back channel. What is Usher's first song going to be? Working the phones.
I think it's going to be Yeah.
I do too. But I don't know. He did say, and we'll go to your golf here momentarily, but he did say again, here's the quote. We were tipped off on this quote yesterday. Forgive me for not remembering who tipped us off on this. But Usher's quote on this is, "This night was specifically curated in my mind to have R&B take the main stage," unquote. So that means his EDM stuff probably shifting to the back, I'm going to guess.
Okay.
So probably Yeah.
I think it's Yeah. Mm-hmm. I also would be shocked if Lil Jon and Ludacris are somehow not there.
Oh, of course.
I've seen Ludacris in this city like 6 times already.
Oh, my God, of course. And what does Lil Jon have better to do?
And what is Lil Jon up to?
Yeah. You think he's got a better thing to do that day? So, yeah, no, I think that's it. All right, golf, Pebble Beach, what you got?
Yeah, Pebble Beach, second elevated signature event of the season on the PGA Tour. Yes, this is no longer your same old Pebble Beach Pro-Am. We are up to an elevated status. That's 80 players now and a no-cut event heading over to Pebble. We lose a golf course, get rid of Monterey, just Pebble Beach Golf Links and Spyglass this week. They will rotate those two courses the first two rounds. That's also when the amateurs will be involved. And then on the weekend, just over Pebble Beach, for the pros. So guys that I ended up betting, Gil Alexander, do not fall off your seat when I say this.
Oh, I thought you bet on me there for a second.
Jordan Spieth, I am on this week.
Oh my God.
And you know I hate every second.
Can we plant a flag? This has never happened before.
It rarely happens. It rarely happens. But he is for all the stats I looked at, a top 10 model play for me. Was third at the Century in Hawaii just recently, 6th of the Hero World Challenge, and he's about as good as it gets at Pebble. One in 2017, second last year, T3 in 2021, T9 in 2020. So an outright bet on Spieth in a top 5 sprinkle there for me. Colin Morikawa, what's really interesting about this event is be careful with this. Is a very, very much course history, tournament history linked event. And you got a lot of these guys that haven't played here before. You've got Scottie Schefflers and Colin Morikawas of the world that have kind of avoided this tournament for most of their careers. So Morikawa, not a guy that has a ton of experience here, but iron's so crucial. One of the best irons player in the world. Going to be a lot of irons and wedges here. So Morikawa 22-1. Played him in the outrights as well. Russell Henley was a really a little bit of a surprise in how highly rated he was coming up in my models, but always like Henley, another guy who's great with his irons. 55-1 in the outright market for him. Also played him in the top 20s at plus 170. And then Adam Scott was the one bomb that I was a little bit surprised how high he was rated out for me, but this guy's been playing through the winter. We talk a lot about the Australians playing through the winter time when it is summer down there. So he's actually had a few tournaments under his belt here. Going to 65-1. with him. And then a couple top 20s. JT Poston, kind of been riding here for a while now. And then Brendan Todd, 3-1 on him, top 20. JT Poston, plus 160. Hopefully I don't get burned by a triple digit this week.
All right, still to come, Mike Pritchard talking all things NFL. Steve Fezzik joins us, the only back-to-back Hilton Super Contest winner on all things Super Bowl 58, including why pros don't really like this matchup, why the second half specifically is annoying them. We'll do that next hour. Le Batard, Dan Le Batard next on the DK Network. We're coming back at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.